Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. And this is the first broadcast in 2026. We've been doing this several years now. And in 2026, we're praying that God would do a great work in people's lives concerning missions, concerning sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. This is Bert Harper along with Nathan Harper, and we're the host of this program. And if you're the first-time listener, it's a program that we just share with you missions that are going on, how it worked in the New Testament, how it's working today, where it's working, and why. So we hope this will be a blessing to you. Nathan, when we talk about missions, we're talking about the ministry of the church, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the marching orders that Christ gave his people, his church, were to go and make disciples of all the nations. And today we want to take some time. Hopefully it will be interesting to everybody, but we want to take some time to measure how the church, how we, not just through the centuries, through the years since the giving of the Great Commission, but up until like now through 2025, some current numbers to measure what, like, how are we doing in this task? Are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Are we being obedient? What is the state of the world as it pertains to missions right now?
Well, when I hear that, and we know, well, today, because of mass communication and quick communication, we know things that we did not know even 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. I remember when I was young, and we would have missionaries come to my home church, and they would tell us about South America, Asia, Africa. Most of those were the three main areas that we would hear. Some, a little bit in Latin America, but we would hear what God was doing there. And we had no idea before they got there to tell us, because there was not this mass communication. But because of mass communication, we know what's going on. It's updated a lot. And so, yeah, it gives us a lot more information today than we would have years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, that connectivity, you know, like around the globe, we're all connected, at least through information that we can learn about different places all over the world. So we want to kind of look at that today and then measure that against our, you know, what we know versus how we're doing. We can't claim ignorance, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see where we're at and just leave it like that. But the whole purpose for today is, and you could almost say the whole purpose for this program, for Exploring Missions, is to mobilize the church to be involved in the mission of God, the global redemptive mission of God, whether that's by going, sending, resourcing, welcoming, however God chooses to use each of us individually, and our churches, our local churches as groups. But we want to mobilize the church to be a part of God's global mission through living on mission day to day where God has planted you. Or possibly a few of us really need to consider and pray and leave it on the table. Like, okay, if you're sending me to a new place, Lord, I want to be willing to go and I want to be equipped to serve, even maybe cross-culturally. So you're going to hear about needs around the world today where the gospel is still not yet being proclaimed. And so there's gaps, and we want to see how we can fill those gaps.
Well, let's take that journey, and I'm reminded of the early church. They launched out, and they went, and during Paul's mission work. He went all the way to Spain, covered that area in a very difficult time of travel. And so here we are. We still need to touch the world. So, Nathan, take us on this journey of where the church has, what they've done, what we need to do.
Yeah, so today we're going to look at some facts and figures, some statistics, some numbers. These are coming from, we're using a resource from the Traveling Team. It's a missions mobilization organization, thetravelingteam.org. You can check out some of this information for yourself there. Also, and where they base most of their information is from Gordon Conwell Seminary. They do a yearly study on the status of global Christianity. And so these numbers are from recent as we can get, from 24 in 2025. And here we are in 2026 looking at these numbers. And some of these numbers will even forecast into 2050. So the next 25 years, what are they anticipated to look like? Let me give you a quote as we start. So Claude Hickman of the Traveling Team has said that reaching the world with the gospel is not a resource problem. It is a mobilization problem. And so that's what we're going to focus on, is mobilizing us, ourselves, to go and make disciples of all the nations. So think about worldwide population. How many people live in the world today? Basically 8.1 billion with a B people in the world today. The median age, the average age of all those people around the world is 30 years. So, Dad, you and I are above that average.
Hey, I'm doubling it plus. That's something. Okay, go ahead.
Well, and now let me tell you about the life expectancy. I hope this doesn't make you feel worse, but the average life expectancy, the lifespan of someone on Earth today, is 67 years.
Okay. Wow.
So that number doesn't change much from around 70, give or take, generally anyway.
And that's a biblical number, you know, the 70.
It is.
So it's that's okay.
Give me, we're not going to go through all the top 10 most populous countries, but let me just randomly ask you, give me three of the countries you think might be the most populated countries in the world.
Wow. The two that comes to mind quickly is China and India, and I don't know which one is on top and next. And just thinking off the top of my head, I would – Indonesia?
They're fourth. So you named number one, India, number two, China. Indonesia's four. Well, we're speaking with everyone from number three, the United States, is the third most populous country.
Okay.
So there you go. You did good.
Well, Indonesia – China and India has been there for a long, long time.
Yes.
But Indonesia, I was shocked. And I remember because I had checked it out and heard that doing our mission work. But Indonesia and the kind of the land it is, it makes it kind of unusual for it to have that kind of population, you know, anyway.
Yep. So some other large populated countries, Pakistan, Nigeria, Brazil, Bangladesh, Russia, and Mexico. So kind of a scattering of countries. But when you look at inside those countries, you know, on this program, we talk quite a bit about unreached people groups or just people groups in general. And so inside of any basic country like a China or India or even the United States, you have thousands of people groups within those countries. And so total around the world, there's over 17,000 people groups around the world. And then we talk about unreached people groups, which means basically less than 2% of that people group's population are evangelical Christians. So right now, as far as we can best guess or study, the total unreached people groups around the world is over 7,000 of those. The population of the total number of unreached people groups added together is 3.39 billion people. So that's almost 3.5 billion people in the world, 41% of the world's population, who has not had access to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So, Nathan, when you say that, you're looking at China and India, especially with and
yes.
and others that are in that window. They're kind of concentrated in not in one area, but they're concentrated pretty strongly in one continent, aren't they?
That's right. Well, the 1040 window is what you're referring to, and if you're a longtime listener to this program, you probably can define 1040 window, but it's 10 degrees by 40 degrees north of the equator in the eastern hemisphere, so from West Africa across Asia, North Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, all the way to East Asia. That's what we call the 1040 window. Over 96% of the world's unreached people live in that 1040 window.
Give that percentage once again, Nathan.
Yeah, so 96% of the world's unreached people live in the 1040 window.
Okay, wow.
And so that's 5.33 billion people that live there, and 96% of those are unreached with the gospel. So, you know, there's a lot of good that has happened over the last few decades in reaching unreached people groups, and that work is still growing and continuing, but there's still a good bit of work left to do for all of us. And when you think about the 1040 window, you also think about just world religions that are concentrated there and some of the larger world religions. I don't want to spend much time on this because we have other programs that we do that, take a deeper dive. But you see animism or tribalism. There are 923 unreached people groups that are from that religious background. There's Hinduism, where over 2,000 unreached people groups are Hindu groups. You have Muslim, Islam, over 3,000 unreached people groups among Muslims there in the world. 511 Buddhist people groups. And then you add another one, if you want to say Chinese / unreligious, there's 441 unreached people groups there. So there's different ways you can break it down and look at it. And one of those is through different world religions.
When we get these numbers, just let me share with you, I know you've looked at them preparing for this. I had not seen them. That's overwhelming in my brain. You know, I'd say, you got to be kidding. But it's not. In that concentration, let me ask you this. These areas where they're concentrated, they're usually difficult to get to in many ways, too, because of the religions of the world and the government, isn't it?
Yeah, there's lots of different barriers in place within the 1040 window, if you want to concentrate our thinking to that. One of those is simply actually like physical barriers, like geography, the harshness of the climate in a local place. For example, there's some unreached people groups in the Horn of Africa, and that desert terrain, harsh, rugged, and so, so hot, where most people in the world that are not accustomed to living in conditions like that would find it extremely difficult to just visit there, much less to live there for years and acclimate to the harshness of the climate, to be able to learn a language, to share the gospel with people there. In other words, I've been told by people who are nearby that place that in the middle of the day, they won't let a child take a nap. Like a young child, a toddler or something. You know, we'd like to let our toddlers take naps. You know, that's important. But in a place like that where it's extremely hot, a toddler might lay down, take a nap, and they would not wake up.
Wow.
And it would basically kill the child to take a nap in that hot, kind of harsh environment. So some of the challenges, some of the barriers to the gospel are just simply geographic or climate oriented. Then there are political barriers, political realities where the government does work against the spread of the gospel. So do those religions that we talked about. There's an embeddedness there, and it's a part of the culture, but it's also part of the power structures of the country. And so, yeah, there's religious persecution and sometimes things that prevent the gospel from spreading into those places. So you could layer on all of these different barriers, and they're all present in the 1040 window in a lot of ways. So you could point to different things of why the gospel has not faithfully been advanced and shared and disciples made in this region. And I don't know if it does a lot of good to put the blame anywhere. I think what we want to do today is say, here's the reality of the situation as it exists. Where do we go from here? What do we need to do now? So that's where we're looking at.
When I hear that, Nathan, and we do want to, we cannot do away with the responsibility we have as the church of going even into difficult places. And government, listen, the Apostle Paul would go. All the apostles went to those difficult places. And so that part, calling, has not changed. They weren't required to do more than we are to do. And so when we hear this and we want to say, well, we can't go there because we need to, I guess, pray, seek the Lord and ask him, okay, is there a way for us to get in and share the gospel? So we're looking for maybe unique ways or different ways to get to these places as well, aren't we?
Yeah, use creative access opportunities to do that. And remember what we said from the beginning, it's not about resources. The resources are there. And I don't believe it's not about God is not calling enough people. You know, I still believe that God is calling cross-cultural missionaries to go to difficult places. Somewhere in the world today, a Christian is being called by God to leave their home and go to a new place. God is still actively calling his church to go. I think that's not the problem. And the resources are not the problem. It really comes down to our obedience and willingness. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are challenges and barriers. But the ultimate barrier is our obedience. Like, really, it comes down to worship. Do we believe Jesus in our own hearts? Do we believe Jesus is worth it? And if we do, we will be willing to lay our lives down for the spread of the gospel. And it's for his name, his glory. And so that's what we're looking at. If we want to shift a little bit and just know, I mean, obviously we can talk about that's 2025 kind of numbers. And if you project into 2050, you know everything's going to increase. The global population is estimated to grow to 9.7 billion by 2050. And in that population base, you're going to see a growth also in adult literacy from currently 84% of the world is considered literate to in 2050, they estimate 88% of the world will become literate. And one of the things we may look at if we have time today is translation of the Bible. How's the progress going there? But coming back to global population, the urban population, so the percent of the world's population in 2025, going into 2026, that lives in an urban center, you know, a city of some kind, we are already at 59% of the world's population living in an urban center. By 2050, that will jump to 68% of the world, over 6.6 billion people living in cities. And so, and those cities are large, so there are currently 653 cities in the world today, over 1 million in population.
Okay, I know I'm asking you to repeat yourself, but 653 over 1 million. Wow.
Yes. Now, by 2050, in the next 25 years, there will be 950 cities of over 1 million in population. And most of those, the majority of those, have less than 50% Christian population. And when we say Christian, we mean evangelical, but we also mean all the other types of Christians, Catholic and Protestant and otherwise. So, yeah, there's future work to do as well, not just current work, but there's going to be future work for the church to do.
Okay. It's the same mobilization as effort on our part. That does not change. The opportunities may be even greater then. Go ahead.
Yeah. So let's look at language real quick. They're estimated right now 7,000, over 7,000 languages spoken in the world. You want to take a guess at what one of the three largest languages spoken in the world might be?
With China being a population it is it Mandarin or what?
Yep.
Okay.
You did good.
Okay. I would guess that.
That's the top language spoken in the world today. Mandarin Chinese, over 12% of the world's population speak Mandarin. Next is Spanish. Almost 5% of the world's population speaks Spanish. And then English is a close third. So learning any of those languages would be helpful for anyone, a Christian that wants to be mobilized to the nations. There are teams that are in the 1040 window, missionary teams, and they speak, they might be from different countries, and they have different native tongues, but on their team, they function in either English, or some of them function in Spanish, maybe French. And so it's good to learn our languages as best we can. Here in the U.S., we have a hard time learning anything other than English, it seems like.
Well, some of us are in that boat, I can tell you. I had a hard time with English, much less the other languages. But, you know, Mandarin, is it? You may not know. I've always heard it was a difficult language to learn. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, it's a difficult language to learn.
Okay.
English is considered moderate. Spanish is considered fairly easy. But if you're like me, any language is a little bit difficult. So.
Yeah, well, I'm more there than you are. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of languages, let's look at Bible translation real quickly. So currently, there are 736 of those 7,000 plus languages that have the full Bible translated into their language, which they're the largest populated languages spoken and read. So that means 80% of the world has access to the full Bible in their language, 5.6 billion people. And then an additional 1,658 languages have the New Testament. And that's a further 11% of the world have at least the New Testament. So currently, there are just a small percentage of the world's population that do not have any portion of the New Testament, of the Bible, in their languages. 3,736 languages currently have no Bible portions.
Nathan, when I hear the percentage of how many, sounds like the church has been more successful in doing that than some of the other avenues that were required.
Yes, that's true. Because even out of that 3,700 languages, give or take, that have no Bible portions currently available, almost all of those, 3,200 of them, have work being done on them. And so very soon, in the next 10 years, they anticipate almost every language in the world to have at least some portion of the Bible available in that language.
Okay.
So that's something to celebrate. Now, putting some of this together, and then we're going to close out with some challenging numbers, but putting things together, when you look at Christians in the world today, and let's just look at evangelical Christians, okay? There are 57,000 evangelical Christians for every one unreached people group. Okay? So think about that ratio. Going back about 5 years, there were, to 2020, there were 550 churches for every single unreached people group. And then now there are 57,000 evangelical Christians for every one unreached people group. Do you think those 57,000 evangelical Christians would have enough money if they could pool it together in some way?
I believe they could. I mean, yes. The answer is yes.
Well, let's look at stewardship within the body of Christ quickly. The annual income of all church members in the world today, $70 trillion. Now, what is tithed or given as offerings? And when we say tithe, we put that in quotes because it's not going to be 10%, sadly. Actually, only 1.86% is actually given by church members, by Christians, to any Christian cause. And so that equals to $1.3 trillion. Well, you ask, well, is that going to be enough? Well, let's see how it's divided out. How are ministry donations used? 82% of what is given to any Christian cause by church members, by Christians, 82% of that goes to the local church, okay? And it stays within the walls of the church. 12% goes to local evangelism or home evangelism. So evangelism efforts nearby in a local town or city where that church is located. Okay, and that only leaves 6% to international missions whatsoever. So that equals to $78 billion every year is given for international missions. Now you take that number, $78 billion, and you divide that up, and only 1.7% of that, estimated $1.3 billion, is going to unreached people's missions. So missions among the unreached peoples, it's a small, small, tiny percentage that is going to what we would say might be the most important priority for the church. Least amount of money going to that priority.
Well, Nathan, with that in mind, and our time is coming quickly to an end, it gives us a lot to know that we've got to work and the numbers are growing up in population in 25 years.
Yeah, that's right. So again, I'll close where we began, is that reaching the world with the gospel is not a resource problem. It's not a problem from God that he's not calling enough people. It's a mobilization problem. And I'll add, it's an obedience problem. We have a lot of work to do. There's been a lot of work that's been done and more to go. By God's grace, may he make us faithful in making disciples of all the nations of the world.
Let's make 2026 a year on mission for God. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions today.